Welcome to Come Heal Yourself with Monica Goyle on OM Times Radio. Monica is a spiritual counselor and healer with a life purpose to put people in touch with their innate healing abilities, empowering them to live a life full of joy, love, peace, and abundance. Through this show, you'll learn to heal every aspect of your life by connecting to your higher self. And now your host, Monica Goyle.
Happy Mother's Day. Come heal yourself. I'm really, really excited about our show today. We will be discussing our favorite subject, or my favorite, angels. And I'm so excited and so delighted to invite Michelle Gordon, Archangel or Angel Lady, to our show. Welcome, Michelle.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, honored to have you on our show. Just to give you a brief introduction about our guest, Michelle is an independent author and she has written Earth Angel series and is the author of the Earth Angel Training Academy. There are now 6 books in that series and she has 4 individual novels in the Visionary Collection. Thank you so much to be with us, Michelle, today. Tell us about your journey.
Well, it's great to be here. Thank you. It's been an interesting one so far. I've been on this sort of spiritual path probably for the last 12 years, I think. It was when I was 20, I met a healer who basically woke me up. And he kind of set me on the path of, you know, healing and crystals and dowsing, and I realized that it had mostly been there all along, but I had been shying away from it. So
it was,
I think it was down to going back when I was very, very little. I'd had some experiences with some lower energies. The house that we were in, I realized a long time later that was quite haunted. Had a lot of spirits in it that weren't very nice, and I think that experience had caused me to close down a little bit and to protect myself. And it just took quite a long time for me to open back up again.
Wow.
And I was also quite sensitive as a child, and I think, you know, I was bullied and all that kind of thing happened. So again, you know, you kind of close it down a little bit and toughen up so that you can cope in the world.
So how old were you then?
When I had the experience with the lower energies, I thought that I was about 4. Three or four. But when talking to my mom about it, when I explained where I was, where my bedroom was and everything, she said I was actually quite a lot younger than that. So maybe 2 or 3.
Oh my god.
But I can still remember the experiences now, so obviously it had quite an impact on me. But it was obviously at that age I couldn't explain what was happening. I couldn't, you know, describe to anybody what was going on. So I kind of closed down to, you know, to protect myself, I suppose. But then, yeah, so it was about 12 years ago I went to see a healer because I had a bad back. While he was doing the healing, he kind of said, you know, you should be doing this, you should be doing healing, you should be, you know, and he started, you know, started waking me up and started making me aware of the spiritual things that I'd been closed down from.
Wow, how interesting. And was your back healed?
He did do a lot of, he did so much good for my back. Yeah, it was, but I realized, you know, he woke me up to so many different things. I mean, he, you know, taught me how to douse, and then he got me into looking at earth energies. So started looking at, you know, ley lines and sick building syndrome, and it just kind of started off this whole, you know, exploration into alternative healing and things that existed that I, at that point, I kind of just thought were fictional. You know, I'd read about things like that in books, but I didn't think they were real. So it was really good at that point to remember all of those things and to realize that they were actually real.
Wow. And you were 12 years and I'm so this must have been very natural to you when he started discussing and teaching you.
It was both sort of normal and, oh my God, I can't believe that, you know, that we're talking about this. I mean, I remember the first time I doused using rods. And when they moved of their own accord for the first time, I nearly passed out, I think, in shock. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe that actually worked. And I still, things still amaze me now when they work or when they happen and you think, how was that, you know? I mean, recently I started sort of doing some chanting, which I've never done before. And it was chanting related to a certain chakra to heal, you know, a pain that I had. And when it worked, I was just kind of like, how is that possible?
Yeah.
You know, how is it possible to chant a word that doesn't seemingly really mean anything and it can actually relieve a physical pain? It still amazes me. And I like being amazed by things.
No, I can totally relate with you. This is how I feel. And every time it's amazing, it's magical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
That's great. So you were 12 years old when you had your first experience of healing. And did you bring up your experience with lower energies to the healer then? Like, did you remember? And did it mean anything more than that to you at that time?
Sorry, it was 12 years ago, so I was 20. I did actually start looking back at experiences so I could see the pattern of various, you know, different illnesses and how they related to the buildings I was in, and also to, you know, the house being haunted and everything. And he did actually help me quite a lot with on the sort of lower energy front, because again, when I met him, we were living in a different house, which was also very haunted.
Oh, wow.
But he helped me to start to be able to recognize the difference between feeling, you know, ill and there being an energy around me that was making me feel ill. So I started to be able to recognize the energies, and then also he sort of showed me what I could do to you know, to release them, to, you know, to help them to move on and to clear myself, because, you know, essentially because I was starting to open up to all the spiritual things, I was kind of just like a beacon for all that kind of thing. I hadn't learned how to protect my energy and how to, you know, how to keep those energies out.
And it seems like, I mean, of course, there is always a reason why we attract certain things in life. So I think again and again, why you were attracting those, there was a reason behind it. So, you know, you could see your light and the purpose you were there for and help them, I guess, transcend as well.
Yeah, I think sort of energies, you know, I think spirits are actually attracted to people who can help them to move on. You know, I think it's, you know, it's, they sort of think, oh, that person will know what to do with, you know, will know how to help me to move on. And also I've been able to help people who have energies or spirits around them that don't realize it and are in a sort of bad place. And I can help them to clear that energy and to protect themselves. And, you know, so if I hadn't been through that experience myself, I wouldn't understand how to be able to do that and understand that, you know, sometimes when I'm in a bad mood, it's not really a bad mood. It's just that I've attracted something that has kind of lowered my energy and put me into that place. But I think it is mostly just that the spirits want, you know, need help, and they try to come to people who know what to do.
I totally believe in that. So why did you wish to become a writer and author?
I've been writing stories since I was about 8. And I started writing poetry when I was about 10 or 11. And I've always loved being able to express what I think or feel in words, and also to just create whole entire worlds and people and things happening, and, you know, just literally by writing a few words down on a page, I've always found that to be quite magical. I've always been an avid reader. I remember growing up, I would spend every spare moment I had with my nose in a book, escaping to some other reality. So yeah, it just seemed kind of, it's always what I've wanted to do, is to be able to write books. And I wrote a novella, which I've got out, called Heaven.com. I wrote that when I was 15, 16.
Mm-hmm.
And then for some reason, I don't know if it's something that somebody said, but I kind of got it into my mind that it was too difficult to get published and I should do something else. So for quite a long time, I did just that. I tried everything else. I tried working in all different jobs and all different things to, you know, to do the sensible thing. And essentially, when the publishing world started to change and independent publishing became more of an option, you know, it was no longer, you know, the self-publishing where you published, like, printed thousands of books and had them in your garage.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, with print on demand, it meant that you didn't have to go down that road. So yeah, when the publishing world started changing, I started looking more into, you know, self-publishing and independent publishing. And it was in 2009 then that I wrote The Earth Angel Training Academy, which was my first sort of full-length novel. And it was another couple of years after that until, you know, when I actually published it. So it's 5 years ago when I published that first one. And it just kind of opened up a whole new world, really, because I realized that I didn't have to get the approval of, you know, publishers and agents and other people to be able to publish what I wanted to share with people.
Yeah.
And that I could do it myself.
Yeah. No, this is beautiful. And we are grateful for you to you for sharing all of that knowledge and your experience and how we can, you know, how we can be helped.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really, really wonderful. I guess it's your calling.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean,
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
What if living didn't have to be so serious?
What if you could move beyond your problems with greater confidence and ease than you've ever imagined?
Throw your labels out the window and join the Irreverent Therapist for practical tips and a very different way of approaching the changes you would like to create.
Marilyn Bradford
and Pam Hodling
have empowered hundreds of people to come out of self-judgment, quit looking to experts, and begin to create the lives they desire.
Join us Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on the Irreverent Therapist Show.
As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicers, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Welcome back, everyone. And we were asking Michelle if writing is her calling, about all the spiritual knowledge she has and she has brought to us. Welcome back, Michelle.
So I started off wanting to just share my stories and to write, you know, myself. Mm-hmm. And then somewhere along the line ended up actually starting a business to help other authors publish their books as well.
Wow.
Which wasn't really part of the plan, but kind of evolved because, you know, people wanted to know how I'd done it. So then I started showing people how I'd published my books. But then I also wanted to be able to help people to publish publish their books to, you know, to a higher standard. And so I've helped quite a few authors over the last few years to publish their books, and on all different subjects. Not all of them are spiritual books, mm-hmm. although one of them ended up being a book on how to heal your home of negative energies. So it's using dowsing. So that was quite fun, really, because obviously that's kind of where I started in my own spiritual path.
Yeah,
was with the dowsing and the healing, and this book is all about how to clear all the energies out of your home and heal it. And it's the kind of book that I wish I'd had at the beginning. So it was great to be able to help publish that and to get that out there as well.
Mm-hmm. So you became Earth Angel for so many, and you are Earth Angel.
Yeah, the Earth Angel concept was something that I came across in originally it was kind of introduced to me in 2006, but it was funny because I didn't really recognize it. I didn't resonate with it then. And then in 2007, it came across my path again. And for some reason, it clicked with me that time.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly, I just wasn't ready for it in 2006.
No, timing is everything.
Yes, absolutely. It's, so when I read about the concept and I read about all the different types of Earth Angel and what it all meant, it just made so much sense to me. And I recognized myself within that frame of being an Earth Angel.
Mm.
And I finally understood myself and realized what I was doing here. And being mostly an old soul, you know, a wise one, an old soul, it made so much sense because I'd always felt like I'd done this too many times already.
Mm-hmm. tell us about the incidents that, helped you understand your own self and your own purpose.
Well, the recognizing myself as an old soul made me realize that, you know, I'd come back in this particular lifetime to help others, mm-hmm. to help them to realize their purpose and to live it. And it wasn't necessarily about my own. It wasn't really for my own purpose. And I realized that the way that I was mostly going to help people was through writing. Mm-hmm. And was through creating these stories. And I mean, it was interesting because obviously when I first wrote the Earth Angel Training Academy, I didn't have all of that in mind. I wasn't thinking, oh, this is going to help lots of people. I wanted to write a book. I'd always wanted to be writing. And when I sat down to write, that was the story that came out.
So were these like real incidents in your life or someone's?
The Earth Angel Training Academy was mostly channeled. I had the basic concept, which was that there was a training academy on the other side, mm-hmm. where angels and fairies and aliens and mermaids went to learn how to become a human. And they would have all these different classes, and they would learn what it was like to be in a human body and feel human emotions. And then they would be called to Earth then, and they would be born on Earth as humans.
Wow.
And that was my very vague concept. That was it. I had no plot, no plan, no mm-hmm. character development, nothing. And when I sat down to write it, the story just flowed through, and it was like a movie playing in my head. I mean, I could just see the whole thing happening, and I didn't know what was going to happen next. I, mm-hmm. you know, I literally would sit down to write to find out what was going to happen next. And yeah, when I read the whole thing through for the first time after I finished, I couldn't quite believe that I'd written it.
Wow.
Because it was just flowing. That was what happened. Sorry?
It was just flowing through you.
It just happened. I mean, you know, and there would be things that would be coming through, and I'd be writing, and I'd think, well, what's that mean? And then a couple of chapters later, I'd be like, oh, that's what it means. And it just, you know, it really wasn't me making it up. It was more it felt more like I was recounting memories that I'd forgotten.
Oh my God.
And it was just coming through. And the funniest part of that book is that over the last few years since publishing it, I've actually met several of the characters in real life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are people with the same names, with the same, you know, characteristics, mm-hmm. and the same personality, the same appearance.
Wow.
And they are people who recognize me and I recognize them. As soon as we meet, we're just like, hang on a minute, I know you.
Yeah.
So it feels like it could be, it could actually be a memory. The later books in the series have got, because the later books in the series are based on Earth. So it's when the Earth Angels have left the Academy, they've been born on Earth and now they're awakening to their origins. And those books have got experiences that have happened in real life. And at the same time, there have been things that I've written in those books that have then happened in real life after I've written them.
Mm.
So it's very much sort of, yeah, some of it's based on real life, some of it's become real life. So wow. It's been quite an interesting path.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think, you know, I really should be careful about what I write, but at the same time, when I sit down to write, I never quite know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when I've tried to direct what's happening in a book, so I'll be writing a scene that's my idea, and not something that's just flowed through. It's been something that's my idea. And I write my books on my iPad now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I remember writing this one scene that was my idea and the page just kept disappearing.
Oh my God.
the app that I was using would just, the page would literally fly off the side of the screen. And I'm like, what is going on? And a little bit later, I was continuing that scene in the next section and the exact same thing kept happening. And it only happened with that particular character in that particular scene.
Wow.
So I decided, you know what? That's obviously not meant to happen because the app keeps trying to get rid of that page. So I changed it. I went back and I said, okay, what's meant to happen? And I just let it flow through what, you know, what was meant to happen. So, yeah, sometimes it's completely, you know, directed from the outside. It's nothing mm-hmm. to do with me.
mm-hmm. So initially, did that scare you?
What, channeling the writing?
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because even though I wasn't really awake as a teenager, when I was sort of 14, 15, so when I wrote Heaven.com,
mm-hmm.
at the same time, I was writing a lot of poetry and a lot of short stories, and I would often come across something in my handwriting in a notebook that I just had no recollection of writing. That, you know, I was just like, well, I've obviously written it, it's in my handwriting, but I don't remember it. And I kind of got used to that in a way. I kind of understood that a lot of what I was writing really wasn't coming from me.
Mm-hmm.
Even though at the time I wasn't aware enough to know what that meant or where it was coming from. So yeah, I kind of got used to it in a way. And a lot of the subjects that I would write about at that age were about life after death.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were about ghosts and spirits and things that I didn't really know much about, but I was writing a lot about it. It was coming through. So I suppose my writing's always kind of been a bit like that. So mm-hmm. it seems kind of normal to me now, but it does freak some people out sometimes when I'm sat there typing far too fast. I mean, people think that I'm just pretending, but I'm not. I am actually writing something. And have been known to have entire conversations with people while still writing.
Mm.
And they're like, but yeah, wow. How can you be talking to me when you're writing something? I'm like, well, I'm just, you know, it's kind of channeled, so I don't really have to think about it. So yeah, it can freak other people out a little bit. Mm-hmm. And
so was your family able to understand what was going on with you and supportive?
Growing up, not so much. I kept most of it to myself. It wasn't until I met that healer when I was 20 that, it was interesting actually, because my mum has always been supportive no matter what. But me and my dad have always had a kind of an interesting relationship. But when I was 21, I think it was, my dad kind of, well, admitted to me that he'd also had a lot of spiritual experiences, which was kind of a revelation because I thought he just thought the whole thing was crazy. So that was, yeah, that was really interesting to hear that from him. And the thing is that I always knew that he was tuned into kind of the spiritual sense, mm-hmm. because growing up, whenever we had any pains or headaches or anything as children, he would always take the pain away, as he called it. He would, you know, if you had a headache, he would literally move the pain from your head down, you know, down your neck, down your shoulder, down your arm, and then out your fingers and get rid of it. Mm-hmm. And that seemed kind of normal. And obviously looking back, I realized that he was a very intuitive healer and he was very in tune with that, but he was kind of not accepting and admitting that at the same time.
So he never talked about it. You just knew that daddy can take pain away.
Yeah, basically it was just sort of kind of normal. But it wasn't until I was in my 20s that he admitted that he'd had all these different spiritual experiences, and, you know, he'd had out of body experiences as a child as well, which is something that I'd experienced. I used to astral travel, in my sleep. And again, at the time I didn't know what that was. It's just years later, I remember thinking, hang on a minute, that wasn't a dream, because everything was exactly as it was in real life while I was traveling around the house or whatever. So I have had probably more support from my mum, just because, you know, whatever happens, she's there no matter what. But yeah, it's been quite an interesting journey. There've been some people that don't get it. But I find the more that you open up to all the spiritual things, the more you attract people into your life who are also on the same plane as you.
Yeah, that's so true. So when you joined the, or when you became familiar with the Earth Angels, it was then that you got interested in the topic of angels, or was that something always there on your mind? And we will take just a short break here, Michelle, and be right back. Stay tuned with us.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Eros Evolution is where sexuality and spirituality meets. Join me, clinical sexologist Martha Tara Lee, on Eros Evolution on Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Live with Medium Lisa Phoenix, Mediumship Messages and Musings explores mediumship and all things metaphysical. Lisa Phoenix invites you to reach above and beyond your everyday experiences to explore new dimensions in the spirit world. She will do live readings to connect callers to their loved ones in spirit, shares engaging stories and teachings from her own personal experience, and will have intriguing conversations with other mediums, spiritual teachers, and healers to help you understand the metaphysical world so you can connect to these forces in your day-to-day life. Join your host on this magical and metaphysical journey into the world of spirit every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back, Michelle.
Hi.
Hi. So, yeah, so was angel, were angels always on your mind, or it was when you started, you know,
angels. Yeah, well, previous to finding out about earth angels and discovering all of, and getting more into the self-development and the spiritual path, I'd had quite a lot of spirit kind of experiences between the age of 20 and 22, 23, I suppose. Because I went to university briefly in West Wales in an area that was particularly haunted and a university that was particularly haunted. Obviously, I didn't realise that before I went there. And I had a next door sort of dorm mate that she'd been able to see and speak to spirit from a very young age, and we kind of clicked and started talking about all these different things, and we'd have all these crazy experiences because she was actually studying archaeology. So of course she was dealing with bones and things all the time, and she would bring all sorts of spirits back with her. And it was during that time that the spirit of somebody that I'd gone to school with, and he'd passed away in the summer, previous to that. One day his spirit just turned up, you know, he just turned up in where I was in the university. And it took me a little while to recognize that it was him. But basically all of my electronics went crazy for about a week. You know, lights, music, my TV going on and off, my computer crashing constantly, and all these sort of things were going on. And it suddenly, I don't know, it suddenly came to me whether it was something that was sort of planted there, that it was him trying to communicate with me. It's him trying to sort of say hello. And from that point onwards, he was always around. He was always there. And he became kind of like, you know, like an angel to me, because he would sort of take care of me and protect me wherever we went. And for some reason, I always liked particularly soppy movies as well. He'd always be sat there kind of, I could, you know, and I don't see spirits as much. I mean, sometimes I do, but I mostly can sense them, feel them and hear them. So, you know, I'd be able to sense where he was sitting and where he was kind of in the room. And since then, he's come through several, you know, mediums who've, you know, come out with his name and described him and how he passed and everything. And in, when did I write that? A couple of years ago then, I wrote, at his insistence, I might add, I wrote I'm Here, which is the fourth book in the Visionary Collection. And the story is based on our story, but I've fictionalized it, obviously. And in that, when I was writing the story from his point of view, because the story kind of switches from the two different points of view, he basically, I was channeling what he was kind of saying, and he talks about the sort of dimensional layer where our guardian angels are. So he was kind of like hanging out with the guardian angels and kind of talking to them and that. And I found that description of, you know, the guardian angels and how they help us and how they're with us all the time and everything, I found that quite fascinating to see that from his point of view. And, you know, I do think that angels have been there all along, and there have been times when, you know, I know that they've kind of stepped in at different points. But it was writing that book, co-written, you know, with the spirit, that I realized how many times in my life that angels have probably, you know, stepped in to help me out. So yeah, I think I've always kind of known that there's something around, but I only really became more conscious of it from basically, after meeting the healer who kind of started to wake me up, and then obviously my friend coming back in spirit.
So how has your life changed since you are on the spiritual path?
I think in some way because I've always kind of been on it, apart from being, you know, closed down a little bit, I don't really know what normal life would be like. I've often kind of said, and people take this the wrong way, but I've often said I kind of would like to know what it felt like to not be aware of these things sometimes, you know, to just live a kind of normal life. But I think once you start waking up to this kind of thing, you can't really turn it off. Yeah. You know, you can try and protect yourself and close down, but you'll always feel like there's something not quite right. And I think, yeah, I like the fact that there's always something new to learn. There's always something new to discover, to remember, to be aware of. And I love it when things just completely, you know, surprise and amaze and awe me, because, you know, I think that's what we're here for, is to, you know, is to experience all of that. And I think if life was just a matter of, you know, going to work and eating, sleeping and, you know, doing the basic things, then it wouldn't feel right. So yeah, I think I've always been on a slightly strange path, probably because I've always been very creative as well. My whole family are very creative people. So I think that kind of sets things apart as well, because you end up spending all your time and money on craft materials and,
wow.
You know, all that kind of thing, rather than just, I find it very difficult to sit and do nothing. You know, whenever I used to sit and watch a movie or watch TV, I'd have to be making something at the same time,
wow.
You know, because it's, I just felt the need to, you know, to create things. So I think, my path has probably always been a little bit strange, but it's, I think the more things that I become aware of, the more I realize that, you know, we're only experiencing and seeing and knowing a fraction of what exists out there. And I find that quite fun, and that's another reason why I love writing so much, is because I can explore all these crazy ideas in fictional worlds, and you know, I can just go with it. I'm not writing books and saying, oh, this is the truth, this is how it really is. I'm just playing with concepts, and occasionally I've played with a concept and thinking that I'm making something up completely, you know, that isn't possible, and then finding out later that it is possible. And thinking, oh, there we are then. So,
wow.
it's just really, really good fun.
I can see that. So it's very amazing that you are, whenever you are even in the physical world, or when you are working, then also you are simultaneously able to channel.
Yeah, I mean, I've written, you know, a lot of my books while doing a normal job.
Wow.
While being in a sort of normal space. I mean, I have kind of learnt the hard way generally over the years that, you know, you can't talk about this stuff with everybody. I mean, on the whole, most people that, you know, I come into contact with, I can talk to them about angels and fairies, and it's fine. There's only been a couple of times where I've you know, happened to mention the existence of aliens in you know, while sitting in a pub having a drink and getting into a bit of an argument. most my sort of normal everyday life pretty much consists of all of these kinds of things. You know, most of my circle of friends, I can talk about healing, I can talk about energy, we can talk about spirits, and it is actually normal conversation for us. We don't, you know, we don't see it as being unusual. So I suppose, I'm lucky to be surrounded by that, really.
That's awesome. What are some of the messages you would like for readers to take from your books?
I mean, the overall theme of all of the books is unconditional love, is the idea that, you know, it's not just the incarnated angels who are here to love unconditionally. That's, you know, we've all come from unconditional love, and we'll return to unconditional love. And it's kind of remembering that as we go along. I think the biggest thing that most people get from reading the books, which I personally think is really, really important, is the idea of belonging. So it's that feeling of, wow, yes, this is home. I recognize this. This is who I am. This is why I'm here. You know, I've had a lot of people say that they feel like they can finally be themselves after reading the books, because it's like giving them permission somehow to be themselves.
That's so true.
And I honestly didn't feel like I belonged here or belonged anywhere until I discovered the whole concept of Earth Angels and realized you know, oh, that's what I'm doing here. Oh, that's why I get on with that person and don't get on with that person. That's why mm-hmm. I feel this way. And I realized that the only time I felt like I belonged when I was with other earth angels. And at the time, I didn't know they were earth angels.
Yes.
But looking back, I'm like, oh, my goodness, yes, they were an angel. They were a fairy. They were a star person. That's why, you know, we had those relationships. And, you know, now I find it's really important for me to be surrounded by earth angels because mm-hmm. there is that sense of and that feeling of belonging.
Yes. And
a lot of my readers, you know, don't have the actual people around them
mm-hmm.
Who are earth angels or who are, you know, awake and they can talk to about this kind of thing. So, mm-hmm. you know, reading my books and then, you know, getting into contact with me helps them to, and, you know, being part of the online academy helps them to connect with other people who understand them. And they don't feel like they're alone on this planet,
mm-hmm. No,
just, which is really important.
Yes, it is. I mean, being like that myself, I know how hard it can be when mm-hmm. you feel out of place all the time.
Yes. You're just like, what am I doing here? What's going on? I didn't, you know. Yeah, absolutely. And it just, you know, growing up, I was just like, I don't understand what's going on here. And, you know, and I can recognize that now. And I can sense when, you know, I'm around people who I fit in with and I belong with. And when I'm around people that I'm not, you know, I'm mm-hmm. I'm kind of more reserved, I suppose. I don't sort of talk about all this kind of thing. But yeah, I think the idea of belonging is one that I think is really important. It's important to find your tribe of people that you belong to or that space that you belong in or, you know, even if it's a book that, you know, you feel like you can be at home within. Mm-hmm. I think that's the most important thing.
And that you are not abnormal. It's totally
absolutely
to be yourself.
Absolutely. It's, yeah, and it's having that permission to be yourself. You know, not worrying about what other people think of you because it really doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. That's really awesome and really thankful to you for sharing all that. And we will take just a short break here and be right back.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on OM Times Radio.
The truth is, you can't change the world if you're broke. I know, I've tried. Isn't it time you turned your life's calling into a profitable, freedom-based business? I'm Michelle Barr. Join me every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern for Sacred Success.
As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hey ladies, do you want to have that good hair day feeling all the time? Gentlemen, would you want your special someone to have that glow, letting you know she's feeling completely satisfied? This feeling and that glow can be yours by embracing your sexual power. So join me, Rachel Kenley, award-winning romance author, on The O-Spot. The O-Spot will guide you to that peak with guest interviews, book discussions, and conversations on the thrills of sexual empowerment. Put the zing back in your life. Come up and see me sometime on The O-Spot, live on Hump Day at 10 p.m. Eastern.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Everyone, before we move forward in our discussion, I would really like to encourage you all to learn more about Michelle by visiting her website, michellegordon.co.uk, And she has a blog called twinflameblog.com. You can go on her YouTube channel, and it's youtube.com/user/moogsandcogs. And you can also connect with her on Facebook and Twitter. And I would highly encourage you to read her books. She also does online workshops to teach you all about connecting with all these guardian angels and higher beings who are always there to help you. And now we will ask her to give us some tools or tell us how she connects with these higher beings that can help us in our everyday. Hi, Michelle.
Hi there. So yeah, one of the ideas, concepts, I suppose, that came to me way back in the beginning of properly getting onto the spiritual and self-development journey back in 2007,
mm-hmm.
was the idea, I'd watched The Secret and I'd read all these books, and they kept talking about the idea that you can create your own reality. You can create whatever you want. And although I loved the idea of being able to be in control and create our own reality, as a creative person,
yeah,
I knew that creating was actually quite hard. It wasn't something that was, you know, it took effort, it took energy, it took time. And so often I would have this picture in my head of what I wanted to create, and the end result would never actually look like that. And sometimes it would look better, but most often it just, yeah, it was just was not what I had in my mind. So the idea of creating my life or creating my reality felt like it would never quite turn out the way that I wanted it to. And the idea came to me that I was reading a lot about, you know, parallel universes, mm-hmm. and the idea of alternate dimensions. And I thought, well, if, you know, there are such, you know, if there are parallel universes, and, you know, just to pick a finite number, if there was like 10 other universes right now where we're living pretty much a similar sort of life, but with slightly different things going on, then surely that means that anything that we could want to experience or to have or to do in our life will exist in one of these universes. So we wouldn't necessarily have to create it. We would mm-hmm. just have to actually go into that universe to, you know, to be part of that universe. So I honestly can't even remember the how it actually came about, but I came up with this. It's basically the beginning of a sentence that when you use it,
mm-hmm.
You can actually shift into a different reality, that you can actually choose what it is that you want to experience. So
mm-hmm.
the beginning of the sentence is very simple. It's I choose,
mm-hmm.
Because you're choosing, not creating, because choosing is a lot easier than creating. So it's I choose to tune into the reality where. The reality. So to break that down, it's kind of like the concept that Abraham talks about a lot of the radio stations, which is quite ironic seeing as we're on the radio right now. So you're basically tuning into the reality
mm-hmm.
where whatever it is that you say next happens. So for example, you could say, I choose to tune into the reality where I catch my bus on time this morning. So you actually shift into, you tune into the reality where that is your reality. So you're not making it happen, you're not creating it, you're just simply choosing to be in the reality where it is already so.
Mm.
And I started to use that sentence in all different scenarios, and I found it to be really, really effective. I did find that occasionally you had to be a little bit more specific than you might think,
uh-huh.
Because I would choose something and then go, oh, yeah, but I should have chosen that. And I give some examples because I wrote a little mini book on it that is in, it's a bonus book in the back of The Doorway to Pam, which is in the Visionary Collection.
Uh-huh.
And one of the examples I gave was that I was in New York City and I was trying to get a train back to where I was staying, and I had to be there at a certain time.
Mm-hmm.
So I jumped on the train, and I was standing there waiting for the conductor to come up the train. And the way the system works is that you get a 10-trip ticket, which means that it's only used if it gets punched.
Mm-hmm.
And quite often you get on the train and nobody punches it, so you get a free ride.
Right.
So I was there waiting, you know, and the conductor was coming up the train so slowly, I thought, well, I'll have got off at my stop before, you know, before he gets to me. So I said, I choose to tune into the reality where I get this ride for free. And anyway, the conductor gets to me. He takes my ticket and I think, oh, well, that didn't work. And he looks at it and he goes, oh, you didn't want to get off there, did you? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, well, this is a through train to Connecticut. We're not stopping at the stops in between. And I was just you are joking, because I had to be back by a certain time. And he was like, no, sorry about that. And he gave me my ticket back. And it wasn't until I got to Connecticut that I realized that he didn't punch the ticket.
Wow.
So I did get that trip for free. I just wasn't on the right train. So something, you know, would have been more useful to have actually chosen to be on the right train. But so, you know, you have to kind of, I mean, I find that quite funny, but not at the time, obviously. But so you do have to be quite specific, but mm-hmm. it's playing with it. It's doing it in smaller ways. I mean, I used to use it to catch the bus every morning mm-hmm. because before that I was always late. So I'd either miss it or I'd be running to get it. So I'd be all sweaty and horrible by the time I got there. And I used it every morning, and every single morning without fail, I would catch that bus on time.
Wow.
And it even got to the point where time almost seemed to be slowing down in order for me to get the bus.
Mm.
Because I'd wake up later, I'd do more, you know, I'd start cooking pancakes and checking my email and doing all these things in the morning, but I'd still get the bus on time. And logically, that made no sense. It didn't, you know, it didn't fit together.
Amazing.
But I was choosing that reality and it was happening. And I've had friends who have used the sentence as well, and it's mm-hmm. worked really well. And you can just say it out loud or you can write it down. Sometimes I find it quite interesting to write down different things that I would like to choose. And then mm-hmm. later I'll, you know, a few weeks later or months later, I look back and I'll see what actually happened. And it's not, you know, 100% effective. It doesn't always happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I usually find that things that don't happen, I'm quite glad they didn't.
Yes, these are not for the highest good.
Mostly. Yeah, and because things change and you evolve and you think, oh, yeah, that wasn't the right thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, it's a very, very simple and straightforward way of basically choosing what you want. And what was quite interesting is that in 2013, I was out in California, and mm-hmm. I went to the Mind Body Spirit Expo in LA,
mm-hmm.
and I met a lady there who was doing a talk, and she was talking about her new book. And as she was talking, she was basically describing the same method
mm-hmm.
Of choosing a reality, of changing realities. And so, yeah, so when her book came out, I got that and I was just like, wow, this, you know, it's the same thing. So there's lots of different methods to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think just being aware that there are lots of different universes where you are living a very kind of similar life. And each time you make I feel like each time you make a fairly big decision, there's like a split and there's another universe that's created based on that decision that you've made.
Wow.
And anything that you could imagine, that you could dream, that you could want, there is a universe where it exists. So it's shifting into that universe and moving into that. And yeah, it's really simple and straightforward, because I don't mm-hmm. believe in complicated.
No, and a very good reminder.
Oh. We do make things a lot more complicated than they need to be. So.
Yes.
Simplify.
Very true. And we are almost towards the end of our show. So, Michelle, before you leave, tell us about your book signing trip to North America.
Yeah, so I'll be heading out in a week.
Wow.
So I'll be in Canada and the US, hoping to connect with lots of earth angels, people who've read the book or hearing about the book now.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, we're starting off in Toronto, and then moving down to Buffalo, then New York, and then Sedona and Tucson.
Oh, wow. How exciting.
And then across then to the West Coast, and we're going to LA, Portland, Seattle, and then up to Vancouver. So it's, yeah, it's kind of a spiritual voyage, as well as a creative one as well. So
that's great. Sorry to cut you, but the schedule is available on your website.
Yes. Yeah, so yeah, you can see the tour through through Facebook or through my website. Yeah. So the dates will be on there, and yeah, if anybody wants to know where I'm going to be, they can always contact me as well.
Awesome. I'm sure our friends would love to be connected with you and meet you in person. How beautiful that would be. And welcome to North America. I know we all need your books and we all need your workshops. I really am very thankful to you for joining us today for a, you know, such a beautiful show. And I hope we'll be again together soon.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Books,
yeah,
I really enjoyed published.
It. I'll be going off to bed now. It's 4 a.m.
Yeah, thank you very much. Have a wonderful night, morning, sleep. Thank you once again.
Namaste. Thank you. It's been good fun.
Namaste, listeners. Until next week, keep healing yourselves.